Moses' law, die without mercy, under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You've read that plenty of times before, haven't you? And you've heard lessons about the assembly and the importance of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And a lot of times our attention is drawn to verse number 25. A lot of times there's a lot of emphasis placed on verse 25. But really when we look at verse 25, as we've been studying on Tuesday, we need to always keep in mind the context where we find that verse. When you think about what is taking place before verse 25 and what is stated after verse number 25, to think about and to look at the context. I want us to look at for just a little while, a closer look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Why is it so controversial when we think about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together? Have you ever thought about that? Perhaps you may never have thought that it is controversial. What the Scriptures say about it is quite clear. I know there's a lot of question about various different words, perhaps in the text. But when we look at this, what the Bible says is very clear. We understand that. When we think about why it's controversial, why there's so much controversy and division that surrounds Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it's real like a lot of other Bible texts. For example, in Matthew chapter 19, it's very clear what the Lord was talking about when He dealt with marriage, divorce, and remarriage. The Bible text is clear, but situations perhaps may not always be so cut and dry, are they? And so perhaps it is controversial from the standpoint of what about my particular situation? What about if I can't do it? What about if I can't? What does it mean to forsake the assembling of ourselves together? Have you thought about that? We read that text and we studied it, and perhaps in our individual studies, we've heard sermons on it. What does it mean then to forsake the assembling of ourselves together? Why is it important when it comes to assembling ourselves together? Is it important at all? When you think about coming together on the Lord's Day and what we're doing this morning, the very things that we're engaged in, is it important? Why should I be concerned about it? Why should you be concerned about getting up, going through the effort to come out and to be with those of like precious faith? You're to be commended for that. Because we live in a time when a lot of people just don't think that it really is important at all. They don't think that it's important to get up and to go out and to do anything that we're engaged in doing this morning. You're to be commended that you've went through the effort and done that. But why do we do what we do? So we leave this morning and we come back this evening. Is that important? What about the Bible class on Sunday morning? If someone were to ask you, is Sunday morning Bible class and Wednesday night Bible class important, what would you say? And if you say, yes, I believe it is important, then do you show forth your mindset that it's important, your voicing that it's important by your actions to support that through your presence? And again, it seems like when a lesson is brought forth on this, we always feel the need to preface it by saying we understand that there are life situations that just come up that hinder us beyond our ability. We understand that, don't we? We understand that we get sick, especially this time of the year. There's a lot of people who are sick, even here at Mill Street, that are sick and would like to be here, but they just can't be because of sickness or whatever the situation may be where they're hindered beyond their ability. We understand that. So we're not talking about that. It was a while back that a particular congregation was going through how do we deal with so many individuals who are really forsaking the assembly. And a discussion was had on that. How do we deal with that? Do we go to those individuals? Do we talk to them and find out what? How do we approach that? You know, there was a lot of individuals that got really upset about that and thought that it's just not my business or your business to be wondering why individuals are not here. But we don't want to have that mindset. We're blessed to have elders here, and They're charged with the oversight of the congregation. And when members are not here, don't we all miss them? And we worry? And we wonder if there's something going on? We need to think about that. So what about forsaking the assembling of ourselves together? And the importance of what we're doing. Again, here's your text, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. I think one of the best places to start in any study of the Bible, not only to read the text, but to know what the text is saying, what the words mean. When you look at the Bible here in this text and you read that, not forsaking, well, what does forsaking mean? The assembling, what does that mean? Of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But exhorting, what does that mean to exhort one another? So much more as you see the day approaching. So we need to take a look at the text and notice what these words mean. I don't know Greek. I have to rely on help, so I'm not going to attempt to pronounce that. But the word consider simply means to observe fully. What are we to consider in this text? Well, the text says, let us consider or observe fully one another. How many times do we find ourselves that we are so focused on self as a result of someone else? Does that ever happen within your life? Does it happen in my life that I get perhaps so busy with day-to-day living that I'm really not focused on anyone else? What about when it comes specifically to the assembling of ourselves together? How can we consider one another or observe fully one another, pay attention to someone else? You think that that's important? Let me ask you this question. Before and after the worship service, what takes place? You just need to answer that in your own mind, but where's our mindset? When we come to the assembly, are we considering one another? You know, oftentimes, I'm not saying that it happens here, but no doubt there's often the case is individuals come to the assembling of the local church and they don't know who was there, who wasn't really. I don't know who was absent or who was. I know sometimes it's hard to miss. But think about that. If I'm concerned about someone else, and if I am observing fully another person, considering them, would I notice whether or not they're there? Would I? So what takes place? Well, we get so busy, perhaps, and inevitably, not long after I don't know how long it was after we came to Millstreet, I mentioned in one of my sermons that to challenge you to speak to each and every person at every service. That's hard to do sometimes. Sometimes even on the best days that we try to do that, someone's gone before we can quite get to them. And we understand that. But we need to make an effort to speak to one another, to provoke unto love and to good works, to consider one another. Well, the next one that we find here is this word provoke. You know, there's a passage, and Michelle brought it out in the Bible class this morning, fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath. We can provoke unto the wrong things, can't we? We don't want to provoke one another to bad things, but notice what he says, consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. What does it mean to provoke? Incitement. Of course, to good. He tells us what to provoke to, unto love and to good works. I suggest to you that I can't do that. I can't do the second part of that if I don't consider one another, if I don't consider others. If I'm so caught up on myself that I don't consider anyone except myself, how can I possibly provoke someone else unto love and to good works? Now again, that immediately precedes our text in verse number 25. When he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, why would the statement in verse number 25 be right after verse number 24, what's found in that verse? Think about that. Is it not in the assembling of ourselves together where this is done? I'm not saying it's the only place and time that it's done. But isn't it done while we're here and we're considering one another, provoking unto good love and to good works? Not forsaking. Well, preacher, what does it mean to forsake the assembling? Now, I've had individuals that in times past that would come to me and they'd say, what about this situation or perhaps that situation? What does it mean to forsake? If I do this, am I guilty of forsaking? Am I not guilty of forsaking?
And if there's a subject where I answer very cautiously, this is where it's at, because I'm simply not in the place of excusing or not excusing someone on their sin or not. We'll just look at the text and I need to look at their
situation and answer that question. But we understand we're not to forsake ourselves. What does it mean? Here's the meaning of it. To leave behind in some place. It
really means to cast off. Forget about that. I'm going to do this. I'm not worried about that. I'm going to do something else. And to give our interest and our attention to cast off or to lay aside, to put away from us for some other cause. Again, we're not talking about life situations that arise to where it is beyond our ability to be able to do that.
Sometimes we very well want to do something, but we just can't do it. Sometimes a decision is made for us, is it not? Sometimes we just don't have the ability to make the choice. But when the choice is to be made, what's he saying? Leave behind in some place. How would it be possible that I could leave behind in some place the assembling of ourselves together?
How could that be done? Well, there's a number of ways in which that might be done. The text says to not do that. Where's our interest at? That's really where it is at. Where is our interest when it comes to assembling ourselves together? Do we want to be here?
Is our mind here? I made this statement a few sermons ago that we can come every week, every service, and yet forsake the assembling of ourselves together in our mind because our mind's not here. We're thinking about other things. We're thinking about what is after service or what's next week or whatever it may be. And not be focused at the task at hand, which is to worship God in spirit and in truth.
The duty of considering one another. How could we provoke unto love and good works?
What do you do when you're here? I'm not saying what you do when you come through the door and sit. But do you do anything for other people? Is your presence important to those that are around you, to one another? Is it? You know, it may very well be the situation that you hear this morning. You say, you know, it's really not important whether I'm there or not. If I'm not there, nobody will miss me anyway. You're missed when you're not here. But what do you have that contributes to the church that meets here? Obviously, us being here is important because he says to not forsake that gathering together, that assembling, continual basis, by the way, of ourselves together. And so it's very important. How does my attendance affect other people?
Have you thought about that? Well, here it was that we sang these songs and prayers were lifted up to God. Remember the Lord's death? We're able to lay by in store of our means to give to God. And He's prospered us. And now we're considering a portion of His Word. The duty of considering one another. The first thing I want us to think about is found in the book of Philippians. Again, a text that we're familiar with and we use it, seems frequently. And that's fine. It's there by inspiration, of course, like all the Bible is. Notice verse number 1. He says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind." Are we of one accord? Are we of one mind? "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." Verse number 3 is very difficult to do if I'm just focused on myself, isn't it? If I'm not considering someone else, very difficult to do that. "But let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on the things of on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Notice verse number 5. "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus." When we come to the assembly, we're considering one another. We are esteeming the needs of others better than ourselves. Do you know how great of an encouragement that it is when you're here? How great of an encouragement it is for others to be able to see your face and to be able to greet you and to talk with you and for you to do the same to them. Now, if it's encouraging when that takes place, what about when that does not take place? Is it discouraging then? If there was a time when the church came together at one of its regular assemblies, and no one showed, do you think that that would be difficult if maybe just one or two people came? Do you think that that would be discouraging? Maybe you've never experienced that. I have experienced that. And I can tell you that it's very difficult and discouraging to go. There was an occasion when Tracy was sick, and maybe perhaps Ethan was sick. She was there. They were there. Went to the study, waiting for people to come, and no one showed. You know how discouraging that is, or perhaps one or two people. And you're thankful for the ones who do, but I'm saying it's discouraging when individuals do not. Your presence is vital. It's encouraging to those about us. And there's not a one of us this morning that needs to think in our minds that we are not important and my presence does not matter. Because it does. In the book of 1 Corinthians, what does the Bible say about the members of the body? Are we one or many? Don't answer out loud. Think about that. We're many. Not just one, but many. And every member of the body contributes to the overall functioning of the body. So that it can be functionable and do the things that God would have this local church do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 33. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 33. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Now here's Paul making this statement. The Apostle Paul went about preaching and sharing the gospel with others and going through very difficult times. But he's saying here, I'm not seeking my own profit, but the profit of others. There may be times when you just mentally do not feel like being here. Has that ever happened? Perhaps you go home on Sunday afternoon and you lay down for your Sunday nap and just mentally you say, I could just stay here in this bed for the rest of the day and all the way till the next morning. Maybe you just don't feel like in your mind of getting up and doing anything, it seems like. In fact, it may be the easier thing to do, just stay at home. To say, I'm just gonna sit back and this is what I'm going to do. We need to seek the needs of others. And it makes us feel better too. When we get up and we go out to be with those who are of like precious faith. But here Paul said, I'm not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. Paul is going about to preach the gospel to others. And nonetheless, it needs to be our mindset that we seek the benefit and the needs of others instead of our own self. Even when it's not easy to do. Even perhaps when we've been wrong. Ephesians 5 and verse number 29. Someone may say, Preacher, I know all this. Well, that's good. If you know it, that's great. I'll just remind you of it. Perhaps if you don't know it, we'll learn it. 5:29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Members. Consider one another. Shel brought this up in the Bible class this morning. The relationship between Christ and the church. Not the husband and the wife. To consider one another. 1 John 3 and verse number 18. 1 John 3, verse number 18. My children, let us love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Sheds more light on considering one another, doesn't it? To provoke unto love and to good works. Not just saying it, but showing it forth in our actions by what we do. John 13, verse 35. Hereby shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one toward another. Romans 15 and verse number 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. Read what the Lord stated about that idea of a neighbor in his teaching. Acts 20 and verse 32. But now, brethren, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace, which will build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Again, when you look back at Hebrews chapter 10, notice the contrast, if you will, in verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but, you need to underscore that word but, he's getting ready to draw a comparison or a contrast in what he's saying. Rather than as a manner of some of them were, we don't have any more details than that about it, rather than forsaking or casting away the assembling of yourselves together, exhort one another. Rather than being concerned about doing that, about casting off the assembling of ourselves together, notice what he says, but exhorting one another. That word exhort means to build up, to lift up, to encourage. We can't do that if we're not here. Every assembly is important. Again, I'm not saying that you do that, but I'm saying we need to be mindful of that so we can keep from doing that and help others to see the importance of that, so that we can see firmly in our minds that it's important for me to be here as an individual, for you, and for you to be here for others, one another. Wednesday night, Sunday morning, whenever the opportunity arises. Gospel meetings coming up. Those are scheduled. We need to be thinking about that, provoking one another unto love and to good works, to be strong and to be there as a source of encouragement one to another. What has your mindset been toward that topic? Do you think that it's important? Do you feel like that when evening service rolls around that it's important to be here just as it is in the morning? Very few times have I ever seen the case where a congregation did not struggle with the attendance gap from Sunday morning Bible class to the Sunday morning worship, and then Sunday evening, and then Wednesday night, it seems like as you go forward, it drops. I think that's a general statement that most congregations see that. What's the reason for that? I'm not saying you don't have to answer that out loud or to me, but I think we need to think about that. Again, there's times when individuals are sick and times through the week when individuals work and that sort of thing. But when we look at the willful, by the way, which is that next verse, verse number 26, for if we sin willfully, you know what that means? That means to do it on purpose, right? Means I have a choice and I'm choosing to do wrong as opposed to choosing right. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. I can be guilty of willfully sinning toward God. To know better and to choose to do what God would not have me to be doing. Again, not forsaking the assembly. I want us to look at these statements. What does it mean to forsake the assembling of ourselves together then? All kinds of situations could be there. This happens, that happens, the other happens, and so forth. It's a willful neglecting to leave behind. When we fail to come together, we forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You have to examine your own self and your situation when it comes to that. I'll say the Bible with you and we'll look at what the Bible teaches on it. But you've got to have a look at your own situation when it comes to that. When we forsake, we're making the choice to not come together with those of like precious faith. Again, sometimes the choice is not ours, is it? Sometimes I would love to be here, but perhaps I can't be. It's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a situation when, yes, I could be, and now Donnie's presented with a choice. Yes, I could go, but and then I choose to not go. That's forsaken. Yes, I could do it, but I'm not going to. Do we not see the dangerous attitude that would be? When we start to say, yes, I could, but I'm not going to, there's a lot of reasons why that mindset might be present. One, we don't value the work of the local church. We don't value the authority of God. We don't care about one another, whatever the situation may be. It involves a willful sin again. I don't want to lift out of context anyway, but James 4 and verse number 17, to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. We know to do something and we fail to do it, then we've done wrong. When the church comes together and you have the opportunity to be with him, you should make the choice to do so. If you can be here, then be here. If I can be here, then be here. That's what it comes down to. You're a lot more encouragement to others when you're here than when you're not. I may say, well, I'm just going to stay at home because there's perhaps a ball game coming on. That's not the right decision to be making when the local church is engaged in the work that it comes together to do. When you make the choice to not assemble, you're forsaken such as not pleasing to God. And we want to be pleasing to God. Here's the reasons why we assemble. You're commanded to. Someone said, well, preacher, it's not good enough to do something just because we're commanded to do it. I understand there's other reasons, but that's certainly one of the reasons we're commanded to be here. And so we're here. God told us to not forsake that, and so we're here. Secondly, your presence encourages others, as we talked about. It's vital to what this congregation does. Here, if your presence encourages others, then your absence discourages them. You'll benefit from doing so. You stand to benefit too. From the encouragement that you receive, from the edification that you receive, from the teaching that you're going to hear, and the growth that will take place as an individual that you can learn from God's Word. You miss that when you're not here. There's other ways maybe you can get that if you're not able to be here, the website and so forth. But you miss that in the absence of being here. And you have the opportunity to help others go to heaven. Listen, after being with worldly people through the world, is it not a blessing to be able to come out with those of like precious faith and we can encourage one another and to be there for one another? We're not encouraged by that. We perhaps need to take inventory of our lives and what motivates us to be a Christian and to do the things that we're doing. What about you? Have you been assembling on a regular basis? We have to look that individual. Have I been assembling on a regular basis? And we're not talking about situations that hinder us beyond our control. But when I have the ability to and I have the decision to make, am I making the right decision? Have you been coming to every service of the church? Are you guilty of forsaking the assembly? Preacher, what do I do if I'm guilty of that? Or repent of that? That means to have a change of mind. It results in a change of action. Stop doing that. Do what's right. And to come to every service of the church. Are you guilty of willful sin? What things in life are you counting more important than assembling with those of like precious faith and availing yourselves of every opportunity to grow as a child of God? And being a Christian is the greatest privilege offered to mankind. You agree with that? That to be able to be a child of God and to be able to be involved in a work like this is the greatest thing that we could do. Being involved in the local work of a congregation is the most important work that you'll ever do. And there's a lot of things that go along with that. But it's a great work and very important. Are you a Christian? Have you obeyed the gospel? You need to do that. This may be the last opportunity that you have to obey God. If instead of this sermon the Lord would have returned, what had been your condition? Would you go to heaven in the after a while? Would you stand before our Lord and Savior and be in a right relationship with Him and hear those words, come thou blessed of my Father? Or would you hear those words, depart from me? Which words do you want to hear? If you want to go to heaven, you have an opportunity to do what's right and becoming a Christian. Hear the gospel and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Make that confession before those present this morning that, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, to arise to walk in newness of life will assist you in doing that. Perhaps you have done that, but you've fallen back into the world. You're not living your life right, and you realize that you're not. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, why not come right now?